Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. We often think of financial health and physical health as two maybe connected but separate things. One can affect the other perhaps a lot more than we really appreciate. That's according to some new research. A study from the Urban Institute explored the health outcomes for older adults with and without debt. It found that carrying any debt had a negative effect. For more on the study's findings, we're going to talk to Stipasa Madrazia, a senior research associate from the Urban Institute, joining us now from Washington, D.C. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
What did you find when it comes to debt and the health impacts in older Americans?
Well, the study essentially finds that debt can be detrimental for older adults' health. This is not to say that any type of debt is detrimental or that debt is negative in general, but some types of debt, especially what we call unsecured debt, such as credit card debt as opposed to secured debt, which would be mortgages, for example, tend to have a negative impact on health.
And when you look at health, what are the measures that you were looking at? Is it obesity, blood pressure, rate of heart attack? Like, just bring to life what some of the things are that you would measure.
Yeah, so we looked at a pretty broad spectrum of health measures. So essentially, we looked at both subjective measures such as self-rated health, then more objective measures such as doctor diagnosed health conditions, presence of limitations in the activities of daily living and instrumental activities of daily living, and a number of other measures, including the one that you mentioned, obesity.
How can you determine what is cause and what is effect? Because I can imagine you've got diabetes, you can't work. Of course, you've got debt piling up.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually one of the main challenges of this research. And indeed, I would say one of the major contributions of what my colleague Barb Butrika and I did. So we know that people who are in poor health tend to rack up more debt. And so this is what we assumed going into this research, that this is a bi-directional relationship. So bad health leads to more debt, but we assume that we'll also be able to find a link between more debt leading to worse health. And so the way we did it is, without going to too many of technical details, we fit something called marginal structural model. And this is an identification strategy that is essentially very common in epidemiologic research, where researchers also grapple with many issues of causality. And so in essence, it's a two-stage process where we first estimate the probability that the subject person in the sample holds debt, and then we derive the weights in so-called inverse probability of treatment weights that are then used in the regression model to estimate that treatment outcome link. So essentially, the bottom line is we are reweighting the data in such way to break that reverse link and to make sure that we are looking at a relationship that has a causal link from debt to health.
In today's day and age, I mean, you look at the headlines of your research and it's a full-on nodder. Like, of course, that makes complete sense. What are the surprising findings? Because a cynic would say, oh, great, you just, you proved that smoking is a problem, therefore you gave more ammunition to the anti-smoking lobbyists, but you're just proving something we already knew.
Look, the technical contribution of the research, I think, is really important because, if it were easy, it would have been done already. And it wasn't. We actually needed to find techniques that would tell us that something that we think of as common sense actually has support in data. Now, I think we also opened up a whole new venue or avenue for future research, because what we found is that there is a causal link between that and health. But that doesn't mean that we still understand the mechanism of how that being saddled with debt is transferred into poor health outcomes. Now, we are strongly suspicious of things such as, having... being nervous about having a lot of debt, and some of these things essentially acting as transmission mechanisms, but we still really don't know much about the transmission mechanism that leads having more debt to being physically impaired, for example.
What are some of the policy implications of your findings, do you think?
Yeah, so I would say that one of the main policy implications is that we really need to be careful about how we promote different types of debt to people and what the social costs, the full social costs of debt are. Because at the end of the day, what we see essentially is that there are negative externalities. And so those who are selling those types of debt, they are not the ones who pay the price for it. So there's a lot of, as in many other aspects of the economy, there are a lot of negative externalities. And this is just a message to policymakers that, there's scope for their intervention to try to really mitigate some of these negative effects and still enjoy the positive aspects of debt, because we don't want to say here that debt is all negative. Debt actually can serve many positive roles. It's just about the prudent use of debt.
Mm. I'm going to draw the link back to cigarette smoking, because there was a time in which marketing of cigarettes was unregulated. People didn't fully acknowledge the health consequences of smoking. Do you think your research and studies to follow would play out in restrictions or requirements on the part of lenders?
They might, although I wouldn't really, I would say that there are definitely some similarities, but I wouldn't draw a full, equal sign between smoking that we know is generally bad and that has both positive and negative aspects to it. I think here, it's going to be, in a way more difficult, because it really requires a more of a precision strike as opposed to blanket carpet bombing of the problem. And so here it's really about curbing the excesses. For example, maybe things like payday loans or things that are really undoubtedly contributing to poor outcomes of older adults and people more generally, rather than trying to curb that as such, which really plays an enormously important function in the economy.
What is your hypothesis on why there's such a difference between lower rate debt, like a mortgage, versus much higher rate debt, like even, let's say, not payday loans, but a credit card at 25% or whatever it is?
I would say really that it's not necessarily the interest rate that it carries, although that's an important aspect undoubtedly, but it's more about the type of debt and what the debt is used for. You know, mortgages are types of debt that we plan on for a long time. You know, it's a conscious decision for most people that they make. They may be saving up for a down payment. They may be this is something that is really in the making for years. Also, if we think about things like car loans, now if someone buys a car because that allows that person to come to the place where they work, then it becomes an essential investment in essentially doing their job. And earning income. So there is a sort of a counterpart to that debt. With credit cards, especially for people who may be not prudent or may just simply find themselves at a bad point in life, where you know they're short of money, they're between jobs. It can come to the point where it simply they cannot manage it anymore, and then the stress of having that probably kicks in, which then you know. Depending on what our individual level of preference for risk and stress is, and the ability of our body essentially to cope with such stress conditions kicks in and really leads some people to this debt spiral, where basically then their health deteriorates, then they may start racking up health bills, incur more debt, and so on.
Right. All that. Thank you so much for your insight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Stepisa Madrazia is a senior research associate from the Urban Institute, and he was here to talk about his research in the relationship between debt and health.